Predators and Stars today at 3 o'clock. They get the exhibition going today. Six games yesterday on the docket. Back around Darren Donick and Chase. This will be the one tune-up before the Predators' Game 1 in their qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes. That will be on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. That'll be Game 1, Preds and Coyotes, and that'll be the first slate of action on Sunday. Five games on Saturday, all qualifying rounds, so all those games will count on Saturday, and another full slate on Sunday, starting at Edmonton, where we go right now. Brooks Bratton is standing by. He is in the Hub City with the Predators. Brooks, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Darren. It's good to talk to you here from the bubble in Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah, good to talk to you. So tell us, you guys went up there on Sunday as we sit here on this Thursday morning. How has it been so far? Kind of give us a little bit of the lay of the land.
It's honestly been pretty surreal. So as you said, we got here on Sunday, landed Sunday afternoon from Nashville. And once we hopped on the buses and headed to the hotel, it was kind of funny. As we pulled into the hotel, they opened a fence, essentially, and you walk into the hotel and you kind of think, well, it's real now. We're in, and we're hopefully not getting out for a little while. So it's pretty surreal to be here, but I got to tell you, the setup is fantastic. I think everybody has been blown away, myself, players, coaches, everyone that I've talked to, just with the safety and the security, and it's clear that this was just a massive undertaking, and the detail that must have gone in to put something like this together. It's really quite impressive how safe and secure we feel here. And I think if anybody had any hesitation coming in, I think that was quickly squashed.
So I'm going to just come right out of the gates with probably a silly question, but I honestly don't know. Today's technology, man, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. CGI is a pretty cool thing. They can pretty much do anything they want these days in Hollywood. Are those real tarps? This, like I said, this may qualify as a silly question. I think it's real, but I don't know if it's CGI or not. Are those real tarps over the seats, or is that just enhanced?
No, it is all real. It
okay.
has all been built out. Yeah, all the tarps, all the screens and the lighting, everything that you see in the arena, that is 100% built on there, on top of the seats, hanging from the rafters. It is all real, I can promise you that.
And so how does that look in person? Because that's something obviously none of us have ever seen at a game or in an arena.
It's pretty mind-blowing, honestly. The first time that I walked into the building, we actually walked over on Sunday evening just to check it out after we got here. And I was thoroughly impressed by it. It looks really good. And that was one of the elements the league was really focused on, was just how things would look on the broadcast. And as you guys said, six games yesterday, there were a few on Tuesday as well. So maybe a lot of your listeners have seen what it looks like already. But if you're hoping to see it for the first time today, when the Preds play, I think that you're in for a treat. Again, it's a way that a game has never looked before. They've got a ton of different camera angles that they could never use before with fans in the building. And it's just a really impressive setup over there. And it's, you know, trying to take away from the fact that there aren't fans in the building as much as possible. And they did a really good job making it look. It's just really impressive, honestly. And I'm excited for people to see it on TV.
How does the setup work now that you've been on, you know, in the middle of this at the Hub with all these teams, right, and practices and these exhibition games and just shuffling around hotels and in and out and Rogers Arena, this the whole setup. How is it with everybody there in one place? How has it been, you know, as we sit here on Thursday, kind of maneuvering around from point A to point B?
It's pretty crazy, honestly, to be in the same hotel with five other teams. So there's six teams here where we are at the JW, and then there's six more teams about a block away at the Sutton Hotel. And, I mean, just to see a bunch of different teams walking around and, you know, former teammates running into each other, everybody that I've talked to that has either been to an Olympic tournament or a world championship has likened it to that, where okay. every team is kind of in that Olympic Village or that hub or that same hotel. But never have you had an NHL situation like this, where the only thing that it kind of reminds me of a little bit is the draft or All-Star, where everybody is kind of in the same place. But never before have there been six teams in the same hotel. So it is pretty wild just to see entire teams of players walking through the same hotel where you're used to being the only team in the building. And so it's pretty fascinating from that perspective.
You and Willie, albeit a lot, but the four of us have been on, you know, team planes, traveling with the team and seeing just the mood of a flight, whether it's a short flight, long flight. We've done both. So we know what, you know, normal operating procedures, what the feel is like on a plane. Was it the same plane ride as you've been accustomed to over the years? Was it a little bit different? What was the mood of the team in going to Edmonton?
Well, very exciting. There was just a lot of excitement and energy and just wanting to get here. I think that's the overriding theme, is guys are just so excited to be here and to get to play hockey again. The circumstances, of course, aren't ideal, but the fact that they're getting on the ice today, I think, overrides everything. It was a very exciting journey up here, just that anticipation of what was to come. Everybody wearing their mask on the plane the whole time. We usually get meal service on the plane, which we did again, but instead of everything kind of out in the open, everyone was brought individual prepackaged meals, so that was a little bit different. And then just, you know, the journey up here again, everyone wearing their masks, and that has obviously continued here in the bubble. You can't go out of your hotel room without wearing your mask and wearing your credential. Obviously, there's exceptions for the guys when they're playing. They won't be wearing masks when they're playing today. But if you are pretty much walking around anywhere where there's at least one other person, you've got to have that mask and you've got to have that credential on, just protocol and to keep things safe and secure.
All right, last thing on my end, and I'm going to steal probably the juiciest question. How do you think John Hines, and we had him on yesterday, and he said out of respect to not informing the goaltenders his plan yet, that he wasn't going to reveal that to us. So I can understand that. How do you think the goalies are going to play out today's exhibition game? Because in watching everything Tuesday and yesterday, everybody seems to have a different approach. How do you think John Hines' approach will be?
Well, I definitely think we'll see both of them. I don't think that'll be a case. It was Toronto-Montreal the other night where I think both Carey Price and Freddie Anderson both played the entire time for their respective clubs. I think we will definitely see both goaltenders today. And John Hines said it a few weeks ago that if you're going to have a deep run in the playoffs, you're going to need both goaltenders at some point, especially with a tandem like Rene and Saros, who are certainly both capable of not only going in and playing well for your team, but capable of stealing a game too, perhaps, if you need that. So I think the Preds would like to get action for both of them. I don't know that if it'll be maybe hit the 10-minute mark of the second period and an even switch, or if someone gets two periods, if someone gets one period, or even who will start. I mean, who starts today? Does that mean that's your game one starter against Arizona? I don't know that that's even the case. So bottom line, I think we will see both of them, but in what capacity, that'll be interesting to see. And then again, depending on how things go today, does that determine who's starting game one for the Predators? Because I don't know that that's even necessarily been figured out. So I think we'll learn a lot today as far as the goaltending situation is concerned. And then, counter to that, though, I don't know that we'll know the starter for game one until someone leads a team out for warmups on Sunday. So one of the biggest questions entering training camp, and still something that we're looking for answers for today.
Brooks Bratton is with us from NashvillePredators.com, and, of course, he is representing in the bubble. He is the eyes and ears of the organization, kind of like Carl, the janitor in the movie The Breakfast Club. Brooks is an aficionado, even though wise beyond his years, he can go back with the music and the movies. So, Brooks, I know you're doing several people's jobs, right, that would normally be with the traveling crew. So how have you held up so far? I'm sure you're getting texts and calls and requests all throughout the day.
Yeah. So, excuse me. So you're right. There's only 52 of us. And that was by design, and each team's traveling party to only have 52 people, just to keep the numbers down and to make sure that everybody could fit in one place. And what adds to that is because it's the playoffs, Willie, you know that, you know, normally on a regular road trip, you're only dressing 20 guys a game, and maybe you have two or three extra players. So on a normal road trip, you only have 23 players. The rosters were expanded because it's the postseason now, and so the Predators actually brought 30 players here with them. So instantly you've got 30 players, and then when you add in coaches, trainers, equipment staff, management, that adds up pretty quickly. And so you're right. Myself and Brandon Walker, our manager of hockey operations, who essentially we don't go anywhere without Brandon. He gets us from point A to point B and does an amazing job at it. But he and I are kind of handling everything from a PR perspective. Of course, my role is usually to more so or less just be a team reporter and write articles and, you know, maybe take some videos and do a radio hit every once in a while. So I'm obviously still doing that. I'm also taking a bunch of photos and videos for social media and sending those back to Nashville so those can be posted on Twitter and Instagram and the like. I'm doing interviews. I pre-recorded an interview with Colton Sissons yesterday. I did one for TV with Rocco Grimaldi. Going to talk to John Hines later today before the game for the 102.5 pregame. So it's a lot. But we're getting through it. It's been nice to have a couple of practice days to really figure out how everything's going to go. And then I'm also very excited for this game day just to see how that's going to play out, because this is just something that none of us have ever experienced. And there are similarities to a normal road trip, but it's something that's very different. And so it's a lot, but I got a lot of people helping me out back in Nashville remotely as well. So it's we're all figuring it out together, and we're all collaborating and trying to show our fans as much as we can here from the bubble.
It really looks good on TV, sounds good. You know, I think we were all curious of what it would look and feel like from a TV standpoint. I know some of the players, I believe I was told, that they actually went over there and watched some of the games the last couple of days just to get a feel for the atmosphere. Have you done that, Brooks? Have you watched anything live yet?
I have not seen anything live. I have been over there every day just to kind of check things out and go look at some different areas. I know some of our coaches and staff were over there the other night checking things out live. I think some of the guys maybe have gone over as well. So I'll probably do that at some point. But again, just the last few days for me, just kind of getting the hang of things and the lay of the land and what all I need to do in my day. Just trying to figure that out and get that routine down. So this will be the first time that I've been over there for a live game. So certainly looking forward to that. It's obviously been since March since we had anything like that to do, so that's very exciting.
Julie Turris shared with us, she did a little interview for the Predators staff the other day, and Brooks, you were a part of that as well. She said that Kyle was taking advantage of one of the hoops. They got a couple of outdoor basketball hoops to shoot on. So what's the best highlight so far of the environment? Best food? Best feature? I know they're trying to put all kinds of different games out there just to have some stuff to do there. So what have you taken advantage of so far? What's the highlight?
Well, there's a Tim Hortons food truck that's got a line that's about a mile long right now that I can see from my hotel room. I know John Hines mentioned that the other day. The free Timmy's is out there and is very popular. But there's a couple basketball hoops. There's some cornhole stations and just some tables and chairs and kind of this outdoor courtyard. So that's a nice little area to just get some fresh air. And then every team also has a designated player lounge over at Rogers Place, the arena here. And that's got card tables and PlayStation set up and just some and a ping pong table as well, and just some nice lounging areas. Just to get out of your hotel room. We've only been here for a few days right now, but Willie, you know that when we're on the road, usually every 2 to 3 days we're going somewhere new. And so even now, being here since Sunday, it's kind of getting, you know, into your routine, and maybe you're sick of seeing the same four walls. So there are some opportunities for guys to get out and do some other activities. And again, I mean, I think all these guys are such hockey junkies, just the opportunity to go over and maybe watch some other games too, I think is a really nice perk as well.
We're talking to Brooks Bratton of the Nashville Predators, and I feel like all our questions are about the bubble, but it's fascinating to be able to hear about this. So can you pretty much go anywhere you want with because you're with the team? Is that kind of how your credential works?
Yeah, so there's five levels of groups, I guess you could say. So there's anyone from what I am at a level one with a team. So you're right, I pretty much can go anywhere I want, which is nice. And then you get lower as you go down. So for example, the people who are working here at the hotel, they're a level three. They're obviously working here, but they don't have the same kind of clearance or interaction to go anywhere they want. So as I said, you can't leave your room without this credential. That's obviously your identifier, so people know that you are or are not where you're supposed to be. But it's very safe. It's very secure. From that standpoint as well, just between that and you get tested every day. So that's been a very smooth process. It's all just run very smoothly. It's incredibly organized. And I got to tell you guys too, we take the buses to a separate practice facility. There's not enough room at the arena for 12 teams to be practicing too. So there's a practice facility about a half an hour drive away. And because there's so many teams, all of the different buses have the team's logo in the front windshield. And on the little scroll, it's scrolling the team name. So people on the road know who you are. I can't tell you how many people every day that we take this bus to practice are stopping and waving at us. And it's kind of cool. Like the whole city, it seems, is really just embracing hosting this year. And I honestly love driving through and seeing anyone from kids to there was an old man on his bicycle who stopped and waved at the bus yesterday. So that's been pretty cool to see, too.
All right, Brooksy, I do have some hockey questions for you. So you mentioned the goalies earlier and trying to figure that out, what that's going to look like. You know, one guy that has had an up and down season was Austin Watson and started off pretty good, got rewarded, got the contract extension, but he's been in and out of the lineup throughout the year. What is it that you're expecting out of him and his role moving forward, starting today and then even on Sunday?
Well, he's been on the, if you want to call it, the fourth line throughout training camp with Colton Sissons and Cali Yarncroc. And I would think that that's what we're going to get today. John Hines really has not altered his lineup at all throughout training camp. So I would think that that's the look we're going to get today. And a player like Austin Watson, I mean, we know how good he was when it was the Bonino, Sissons, and Watson line a couple years ago in the playoffs. And, you know, a guy like Austin Watson, you need that kind of player in the playoffs. He's big. He's physical. He can chip in with a goal a time or two. And I think he is just one of the many guys on this team that is looking at this as a fresh restart. There's a lot of guys that were not happy with their individual performances last season. And between that and you get a new coach coming in, and it's a lot. And so I think these last 4 months were a really good time to not only keep training as all the guys were doing and staying in shape, but just kind of to have a reset. And Coach Hines made it a point to reach out to every single player and get to know them a lot more as a person. It's one thing to know how your players are on the ice, but it's just as important, I believe, to get to know them as people and know how they tick. And so, I think Austin Watson is just one of the guys who is looking at this as a reset. And as far as I'm concerned, the Preds are going to need a player like that in this postseason, especially as you go further along. You need contributions from everyone, and he's a guy that is capable of doing it in many different ways, whether it's physicality or, you know, going hard to the net and maybe chipping in a greasy goal a time or two. He's just one of many players on this team who's really excited to show what they can do on this stage.
Yeah, and you bring up that there are several that kind of fall in that category, and I think one that we've mentioned consistently is Ryan Johansson, but to me, Matt Duchene could also fall in this, that it was good, you know, he had a decent season, but not what everybody, I think, was expecting, and that could be just the team overall. But do you get a sense of being around him, watching practice, that he's another one of those that seems refreshed and ready to really make a difference in this run?
I do, and I would increase that to everybody in the top six. So that's the Jofa line with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, and then Duchesne's line with Mikhail Granlin and Kyle Turris. Both of those lines have looked excellent through training camp and through these 3 days of practice here in Edmonton. And both of those trios had some rather pretty goals in the two scrimmages that the Preds held at Bridgestone last week in camp. And yes, they're only scrimmages, but scoring a pretty goal in a scrimmage is better than not scoring any goals at all. And so I think that the chemistry has really come back with both of those units. And that was Coach Hines' mentality to start this, is let's go with guys who have chemistry. Let's go with some trios and some defensive pairings that we know that have worked in the past. We have limited time to get ready for this, so let's go to some things that have already worked. And again, I mean, just the Duchesne line and the Johansson line, I think those guys especially are really eager to show what they can do. And a lot of those guys have been great playoff performers before. And I think they're anxious to show that, you know, I can still do this. I can still perform on this stage. And so, you know, you can talk all you want. You've got to show up and do it when it matters. But for all intents and purposes, this Predators team is a hungry team. They're an excited team. And that's not a bad thing considering the situation they're in right now.
Brooks, I hope you're up there a long time. This won't be the last time we talk. Thanks for doing this. And like I said, we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brooks Bratton, he's up there with the Predators at the Hub City in Edmonton. And, of course, they will drop the puck today at 3 o'clock against the Dallas Stars. You will hear everything right here on 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be on the call. I will have pregame for you starting at 2. There will be postgame. A lot of reaction around today's exhibition game right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour. Darren Donick and Chase next.